Today on Real Radio.
But when you begin to worship him and say, Lord, this stuff stinks. The junk on TV is not worthy of who and what I am in Christ anymore. I am not going to do this. Think about it. Try it. 30 days. Embark upon a worship of God and see if it doesn't change your life. Will you be tempted? Absolutely. May you fall? Will you fall? Yes, but a man, a woman following Christ is like those weebles. They wobble, but they don't fall down. They just come right back. Like a punching clown thing. Whoop. Temptation's going to come. It's not going to stop until we're dead. It's going to come, but you know what? The more you are a worshiper, the less ability it has to hook you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through Revelation. You know, in this day and age, when we hear the word worship, we often apply a very incomplete definition to the term. You see, for the true believer, everything we do is for the glory of Almighty God. Worship being all of life is what Pastor Jack is concentrating on as we continue in our study that takes a look at Revelation chapter 5 and verses 8 through 14. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Your sin this morning, no matter what or who you might be, is not greater than the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse. No matter what you've ever done, but you must come. You must run to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, forgive me. I know it takes humbling yourself, but shouldn't you humble yourself in the presence of such a great one as Christ? In 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from most of our sins. Is that what it says? Cleanses us from all sin. It's his blood that brings me to the place of worship. It's his blood that excites me that Jesus died for me. And then, you know, verse 11, some of you, you know, it says a number that was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. It's myriads upon myriads, an innumerable number. Huge, people, huge. You might say, well, Pastor Jack, I don't do well in crowds. Well, I have one word for you. It sounds like three, but it's one word, and that's get over it. I don't do well in crowds. Well, my friend, in heaven, there is 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands and thousands, a whole myriad of people, including angels and the like. It is something. Now, it's heaven, so you know that you won't have to stand in line, truly, right? You won't stand in line in heaven. That wouldn't make it heaven. But it's going to be a lot of people. How's it going to work? That ought to drive every architect nuts in this room. How's that going to work? Go figure. You can't do it. God's going to do it, though. He's going to have all of us in heaven, a number so big. Look at all these people. But, Pastor, I don't do well in crowds, I said. Get over it. It's not about you. It's all about him. And it is going to be awesome. Worship. There'll be a great host. And don't need to belabor it, but if you look through the Gospels, there was always a massive crowd around Jesus. Always. And I think if you would have heard him preach, and if you would have seen what he did to people, I think you would have put that phobia of yours off to the side and said, I'm going to follow him. In fact, like that woman, I'm going to make my way through the crowd and I'm going to grab the hem of his garment anyway. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. And you'll go. and you'll follow him. A great number. I love that because apparently in the score, Satan loses. But there's got to be a willingness, church, to our worship. The question is, will you be there in that crowd? Are you a worshiper? Now, I don't like the fact, the time constraints and everything that pushes upon this, but I don't know, God's got to communicate this to you. There's no way that I can do this, but especially for us guys, we've got to get into worship. We've got to start making an effort and do worship. We've got to get that happening because, you guys, this is where power comes. The more we worship, try this and see. Just try it. 30 days. Money back, guaranteed. Give the Lord your worship. Start to practice worship. Remember, guys, how you used to work out and it hurt at first? You could only pick up, you know, like 3 pounds, you know, and the next day you're even sore. But then you went to 15 and then you went to 25 and then you went to 55. Start. And then when you start feeling better, you notice when you start just physically exercising that you know, that, I almost said a double-double doesn't look good anymore, but a Whopper doesn't look good anymore. And that fried chicken just doesn't look good anymore. It's like, ugh, I don't know, I'm working out now. And you start thinking more about salads, and you start thinking, well, I'm going to eat some more carrots, and, you know, I'm going to, you know, drink the V8 juice, you know, or, you know, you start, you know, that, you know, you do that in the flesh, you feel it in the flesh. Same thing's true in the spirit. Start worshiping, and guess what? When Satan goes, hey, log on to some porno site, dude. And you start looking around, hey, nobody's up, nobody's around, and you go over there and you look. It's like, what is this? This stinks. This is stupid. When your non-believing friends say, hey, you want to come to happy hour? And there's a, you know, we'll pound some brewskis over here and put away all your troubles for the day. And you go with them. Yeah, I'm going to lead them to Christ. I'm going to go. I'm just going to hold the beer in my hand to kind of, you know, I'm not going to, like, you know, upset them or anything. And the next thing you know, you're either you're drunk or you're on your way. You know what? When you worship, we could take out the Ten Commandments and beat you with them. I mean, just beat you. Tie them around your neck and beat you with the Ten Commandments. That's not going to do it. But when you begin to worship him and say, Lord, this stuff stinks. The junk on TV is not worthy of who and what I am in Christ anymore. I am not going to do this. Think about it. Try it. 30 days. Embark upon a worship of God and see if it doesn't change your life. Will you be tempted? Absolutely. May you fall? Will you fall? Yes, but a man, a woman following Christ is like those weebles. They wobble, but they don't fall down. They just come right back. Like a punching clown thing. Whoop. Temptation's going to come. It's not going to stop until we're dead. It's going to come, but you know what? The more you are a worshiper, the less ability it has to hook you. That's a love relationship, and it's all based upon choice. Verse 12, for us getting set, we know this. Getting set means to know more of Jesus Christ forever. To know more of him, not so much about him. I'm not interested in knowing more about Jesus. This is where the Lord has brought me to the place in my life so far, is that I don't need to know more about him. Do you realize I need to know more of him? That means this. I can study and get books and do everything academically forever and know all about Jesus. I don't want to do that anymore. If I stop and realize that he is the Lamb of God who was slain for me. When I begin to meditate upon that, I begin to see that I need more of Christ in my life. Why? Because that's what heaven is about forever. I don't think there is going to be classes in heaven. Now, okay, all of you, from Calvary over here. This is like worship 101. I don't think so. No, we are going to spend eternity getting to know more of Christ. And I don't know how that's going to look, sound, or feel. But it's going to be heaven. It's going to be great because it says in verse 12, this is what they say with a loud voice. A lot of loud things up there, huh? A lot of loud. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Notice that if you're a Christian, you're singing and saying such things to the Lamb. See, the more I know of Jesus, the better of an object he is of my worship. The know I more of Jesus, the greater appreciation I have about his power and his riches and his wisdom. The knowing more of him brings peace and calm to know more of him. Textbook answers only get you an A. You know that, and that's okay. And we've all learned how to do that. If you've been a student, you know how to get an A. You know you can get an A and not know anything. That's how I got through school. I can take my eyes, I can look at something, and I can. It's almost like there's a little lever on the side of my head. I can take a picture of it in my head, and then when the test comes, I can just call it right back up and fill it in. It's kind of scary. It can be mistaken for being smart. Smart is learning what it means. So that when the test comes up again in 3 years, you still know the answer. See, the more you know of Christ, the less petty you become. The more gracious you become with people. The less critical. The knowing of Christ more. The less legalism has a grip on your life. The more you know of Christ, the more of a reality is, and you must worship him. You've got to worship him. Philippians 4:6 tells us, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. What a great word. Colossians 3:14 says, above all things, put on love. Is that not what the church needs more than anything? I mean, come on, let's be honest. We need love. This last week in Germany, I was given a message in a particular place, and I'd mentioned. And, you know, we may not appreciate this as Americans. By the way, the Germans, you know, they think we're nuts about Afghanistan or Iraq. They think we made a big deal about the World Trade Centers and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, what are you guys doing? And they don't understand, and that's okay. They're not supposed to understand. Germany wasn't attacked. It was America that was attacked. And they don't like George Bush at all because he's not a international, embrace the whole world. Let's just hug everyone and be one world and one nation and lay down our arms and get run over, you know, kind of a thing. They don't like him. But you know what they love about us? They love our outspokenness and our freedom to state our opinion. They just love it. They get a kick out of it, and they're like, I mean, if you say, well, I don't think that should be like that. It should be this way. I mean, I learned a lot on this trip in Germany. You know, there's days of the week that you can mow your lawn. Certain days you can't. You can take your trash out in certain days, and only at certain times. It's all very, very strict. But you know what? When I had mentioned that you could have a marriage, you got license, the government, you got everything. You got a certificate, And you could even stand up and say, I've been married 17 years. Husband and wife, 17 years. You can have the certificate, but are you really involved in a marriage? Is it really a marriage? And I said that. I said, you know, we can get so caught up in the rules, and we are so afraid to be right all the time that we would never color outside the lines. Have you ever seen a child that's learning how to color and an overbearing mom or dad or some sort of a perfectionist, even school teacher would say, you went outside the lines. Yeah, but you know what? They're learning and they're little and they're catching on. They'll get it. You can have a marriage or you can, listen, you can have a relationship with God and it is like this. It is very stoic. It is very performance-based. It is, I keep all the rules. Why would God do this to me? You know that kind of a thing? When any time anyone ever says, why would God do this to me? You know what we are confessing when we do that? I deserve better. Right? We're saying, Lord, I'm worthy of better treatment. And you can have a marriage, and you can have the certificate, and you can have a church, and you can have a name. And listen, it is nothing unless that relationship is based upon love, and the proof of it will be the grace of God that dwells therein. And when I think about how Jesus Christ went to the cross with me on his heart and mind, listen, church, you need not impress anyone. Because you know what? You can't. And you can't impress God because it's not what he's requiring. All he's requiring is that you come to him. And that you know more of him. And then finally, on your mark, get set. It's time to fall down. Verses 13 to 14, to fall down before God our Savior. To fall down before God our Savior, because you know what? There's a lot of falling down these days in worship of things and stuff, but listen, heaven is all about falling down before God our Savior. He says, every creature which is in heaven, and listen, on the earth and under the earth, that's kind of creepy, isn't it? And such as are in the sea and all that is in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. By the way, it's co-worship, equal. Why? Because Jesus is God the Son. Verse 14 says, then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Falling down before God our Savior means this. Number one, because it's what you'll do. It's what you and I will do when we get to heaven. It says every creature which is in heaven, that's what they do. They fall down and worship. Adoration. And look what he does here. He talks about regarding those that are on the earth. There's going to be the coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom that we see this. Every creature which is in heaven. Yes. On earth. That means birds too. Birds in the atmosphere. When it says earth, that means giraffes, humans, everything, anything. Think about it. This is going to be an amazing thing. And it will happen. Every creature which is in heaven, every creature which is on the earth, elephants, can you imagine? The ant is going to bow down. Yes! The elephant's going to go, yeah! Or whatever they do. They're going to... It's going to happen. So you got to be kidding me. I'm not kidding you. It's going to happen. Everything. Not me. Yeah, you. And every creature under the earth. That, you study that. That gets very interesting. From the spirit realm, commentators will speak about and scholars will mention, to worms. Praise and honor and glory. In Romans 1, verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. Isn't that amazing? His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Being understood by the things which he has made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's everything that he has created on this planet. Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Church, we must glorify him as God. This is what happens if you don't. They were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed. That is, they succeeded at deceiving themselves. The glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. All of creation knows to worship God except the very one in whom he made in his image, human, man, resists and fights. It's amazing. You know, what I'm inviting you to do as a church, as we continue on until the Lord comes back in our lives, is that we need to worship him. Now listen to me clearly. We need to worship him with reckless abandonment in our worship. That does not mean swinging from the chandeliers and running through the walls. That's not it. But we must get involved and let go of the things that so easily beset us when it comes to our worship. Verse 13 says that John said he heard saying, and all those things that are in the sea and all that are in them. You know, minnows and whales, you know? Everything that's in the sea is going to praise the Lord. My friend, are you a praiser of God? You've got to be. If you don't have a tummy for it, it's because heaven's not in your heart yet. You got to. He says, and to the Lamb forever and ever, then the four living creatures said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. It's the Lamb, my friend, who lives forever and ever. Listen, there'll be no atheists standing around in heaven. None. There'll be no atheists. In fact, if you're here this morning and you're an atheist, you're a dying breed. Literally. God is real, and he doesn't want anything else but you. He's jealous for your heart. And I suggest highly, I plead with you strongly, that you give him your heart today. Please do that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking a look at Revelation chapter 5 and verses 8 through 14. It's a study that looks at, quite possibly, the perfect worship service taking place in the throne room of Almighty God. We'll continue with more in this fascinating series through the last book of Scripture on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Hey, if you've been riveted to international news recently, you're not alone. What's happening in the Middle East is so significant, more and more are saying that it could quite possibly be World War III, or at least the makings thereof. Now, of course, as believers in God's Word, the Bible, our perspective is a more eternal one. And so Pastor Jack tells us all about that and a lot more in an audio presentation called Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update. Now, you can hear the message online at www.realradioactive.org, or better yet, get a CD for yourself or for a friend. Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update is yours for a donation of any amount. Visit www.realradioactive.org to donate, and everything is explained right there on the front page. Or if you prefer, call us or write us. Just be sure and mention Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update on CD. Our phone number, 909-393-7100. Again, area code 909-393-7100. Here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of this contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.